Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Peekmanell and today I'm joined, as always, by my intangible co-host, Tempest the Wrestler.
Yeah, I'm Tempest the Wrestler. I'm tired. Let's crack on.
It started off when you first joined these podcasts and you started doing them with me. You're like, I'm Tempest. And then the next big is, I am Tempest. And just Greg's going, yeah, I'm Tempest. Get on.
Yeah,
me.
I'm
Jesus
Tempest.
Christ,
it's
come
a,
on.
It's a bit. Let's move on. Why does Scott Pilgrim have to be my favorite movie?
How you doing, other than being tired?
Oh, you know, it's another day. It's another week. There really isn't a whole lot of note to talk about. We're in that lull here in Ontario. We're still pandemic, but we're getting closer. I think most people now in the province have had their first jab, which is good. I think they're reopening like patios on Friday, which I probably still won't partake in. But we're heading in the right direction, but I'm just like, let's get there. Come on. I've been through this for 15 months. I'm ready to live again.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm getting my first jab tomorrow, so that's good news. So that's tomorrow afternoon, which is great. So I'm quite excited for that. We've got a bunch of emails to get through. Let's do them later. But for now, let's get into talking about NXT because it's TakeOver In Your House this Sunday, which means this episode was the go-home show. Not that you'd know it by watching it, but it was, in fact, the go-home show. So let's talk about who's going to walk out as NXT champion this Sunday. So the first thing we're going to be talking about is this Fatal 5-Way that's coming up this Sunday for the NXT Championship. Karrion Kross defending his NXT Championship against Adam Cole, Pete Dunne, Johnny Gargano, and Kyle O'Reilly in this Fatal 5-Way. And on this show, they had the one segment. Well, they kind of had a couple segments peppered in the show that weren't really proper segments. And then we had the final big kind of go-home angle for the show, which was Karrion Kross going out to the ring, William Regal just having enough of his show just going completely to pieces, which makes sense because it has gone completely to pieces in the last few weeks of him just not having any control about anything that happens, which is kind of wild. But Karrion Kross being like saying that William Regal doesn't run anything, I was like, I mean, he does, but sure, okay, yeah, whatever. And he just says that he's not going to leave the ring until he gets all four of them out here so they can all talk or whatever. But then they all start coming out one by one. Kyle O'Reilly comes out and just this is genuinely one of my favorite things. I'm gonna get it ready here. Was I went on to the Squared Circle Reddit earlier just to see what people thought of the show as a whole, and people generally seem to quite like the show. One of my favorite things I saw about this ending promo was each of these people came out and just cut a promo basically on Cross. Like they might have, you know, mentioned the other people involved in the match, but the primary brunt of all the promos was Karrion Kross. Genuinely one of my favorite things. Did I not save it? I almost just put a swear up on the screen here, but I didn't. So I'm going to have to go grab the other one I made with that senses the swear. There it is. Okay. One of my favorite comments I saw on the Squared Circle Reddit was this one right here. This is apparently the direction that everyone got was just call Cross a piece of S without saying that exactly. must have been their direction, because that was the brunt of everyone's promise. To be like, Cross, you know, you're just a bit crap, aren't you? God, you've been champion, but you're just a bit rubbish. Was basically the content of everyone's promo, which I thought was very funny. But then, yeah, they all just kind of run each other down, and they all get into a big brawl at the end of it. Adam Cole, who had done his little promo on the Tron, not actually come out, comes out at the very end after Karrion Kross is standing tall. He comes out at the very end, does a couple super kicks and a last shot, holds the title tall to stand tall to end the show. So as a go-home ending angle, I thought it was fine. You know, it got them all being physical, all five of them together. They all said their piece about the match. It was all right. Got no big complaints about that as an ending go-home angle. Did it make me more excited for the show, for the match on Sunday? Not really. I was already a little bit excited. This isn't really add to it necessarily, but it was all right. The interesting thing to me, though, is I genuinely don't know who's going to win. Because before the last couple weeks, I definitely would have said Karrion Kross is retaining. Now, genuinely, through the content of the promos of Adam Cole just being like, hey, you're just a bad champion. Like, everyone in NXT knows that you're a bad champion and you put on bad matches and you suck. And like everyone here just using Cross as their verbal punching bag through the whole segment. Maybe NXT does think that he's a bad champion now. Maybe they're just saying like, he's kind of had his time now, hasn't he? And it's not really working. So maybe we should change it up. So maybe someone else does win. I don't know who. I don't think it's going to be Adam Cole. I don't know who, though. Maybe they could just pull the trigger on Pete Dunne out of nowhere. You know, I genuinely don't know. And I'm quite excited because I don't know. I still think Cross is my favorite to win, but I don't know. So what did you think of this?
I think that Karrion Kross is going to retain. I think if they're going to go in any particular direction with the NXT title, it will probably be that he retains here and then faces Kyle O'Reilly in a singles match, possibly at a takeover somewhere around SummerSlam time. Again, that's all speculation, but hey, I've been right a lot lately. Otherwise, like, I think this segment was just kind of like, it was fine. It was a solid fine. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't make me super excited to see the match. And I'm really only excited to see the match because I think it'll be a good match.
Yeah.
You know, that's half of the excitement factor when I'm trying to gauge how I feel about a match. Is am I looking forward to the match itself? And then do I really have like an emotional connection to whoever's going to win? I don't really feel that right now. Like, obviously I like certain wrestlers more than others that are involved in the match. But as far as this match goes right now, I'm just like, yeah, I think Karrion Kross is probably going to win. If he doesn't, it'll be a surprise to me anyway. But even if Kyle O'Reilly won right here, I'd be like, oh, wow. I didn't expect that. I wouldn't be like, oh my God, Kyle O'Reilly's NXT champion. Let's go. You know, like, yeah. I was when Johnny Gargano won the title, and then when Adam mm-hmm. Cole won the title, where I was just like, let's go. Ah, I'm not feeling that way about NXT right now. And it's a shame because we've really praised NXT over the last like 2 months since we've started doing these reviews. And I think it's been a very good show. But I do think that the build up to this takeover has been very lacking. You know, they've somehow managed to find a way to have really good shows while also not having a very good build, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like they've had really good builds for their week-to-week shows, but they've not had, like, anywhere near as much focus on the actual takeover itself. Like, we've been praising them so much, saying, like, here's a match that's going to happen next week. Here's a match that's going to happen 2 weeks in advance. There's constant title matches on all the shows for pretty much every belt that gets defended on that show. Like, every week there's a new title match coming down. And they've done a really good job of just progressing the weekly show, making it feel important all the time. But when you're building to a takeover, that's got to be your primary focus, not the week-to-week show. And this doesn't really feel like it's been the focus of anything. This feels very rushed. One of the matches on the show is Mercedes Martinez versus Xia Li. Where's that come from? That's literally a week and a half of build that they've got. I'm counting, you know, the half was the last week's show where she, or week before, whenever it was, when she got the mark on her hand. And then last week she said, I'm going to run through your takeover. And then here they had a little physical thing. And that's it. That's the whole bit for a takeover match. That feels incredibly lackluster.
I'll tell you what I think this feels like. Is it feel, because I agree, I think they did a very good job of like making each show over the last couple months feel really important with the various title matches and big stipulation matches. I think that's very well and good. It feels like there should be two more weeks to go before the next takeover. Like it feels like, last week we got the big like setup week where they announced a bunch of matches and we got the direction for where we're going to go. And then this week was the follow-up. And it feels like we got two more weeks to build interest for TakeOver, but TakeOver's this Sunday, you know? And I don't know, it feels weird. Like, it feels like they're just kind of having a TakeOver right now for the hell of it, you know?
A little bit.
I like to think that you don't need a TakeOver just every 2.5 months unless it really calls for it. And I don't think it really calls for it right now. Like, if this was pushed back another couple weeks, I think they could have benefited from it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's almost to their own detriment, though, because they knew this was coming. You would have thought they'd have, like, planned a little bit ahead, because NXT's quite good at planning in advance and not doing, you know, last-minute changes like the main roster does all the time. So you would have thought they'd have had a plan in place to make sure that all the stories felt properly built to the show. But for whatever reason, it's just been very, rushed this time around, which is very strange because they've had so much time since the last takeover, since Stand and Deliver. There was, you know, pre-Mania. They've had, you know, 2 months since then, which feels like tons of time to build stories and that, but they've just not done it. Having said that, I do think there's going to be some really good matches on this show. I might not be as emotionally invested in everything as I should be, but some of these matches are probably going to be very good. We'll talk about it more in a little bit here. And we'll talk about, you know, the various matches as they come through on the as they happened on the show. But in terms of the actual NXT Championship match itself, I'm still predicting in WrestleLeague. By the way, if you're a Patreon backer, WrestleLeague predictions for NXT TakeOver In Your House are up. You can go and predict that right now. I am still going to predict Karrion Kross to retain, but I could see someone coming out and winning it out of nowhere, like an Adam Cole or a Pete Dunne. I think it would. I don't think they do. Maybe they do Johnny. That would be weird, though. I mean, maybe. I think it would be a heel, basically, who would win it, which I think limits it to Cole, Dunn, or Gargano. I don't think Kyle O'Reilly would win it here. I think he'd need a bigger, like, big singles, like, proper crowning moment kind of thing. You know, maybe Cole wins it here, and Kyle has to face Cole again for the NXT title. Maybe. Maybe that's a story they could tell. I don't know. But I still think I'm going to go with Cross to retain, I think.
I will as well. I think that Karrion Kross is going to retain and have a longer reign with the title. But if they were going to take the title off of him, putting it on Adam Cole to have another match with Kyle O'Reilly seems like the most likely of destinations. Like, I don't know. I don't see the title fitting with anyone else right now. Like, I don't think Kyle O'Reilly right now needs the title. I don't think Johnny Gargano right now. I don't think the title, like, fits his character and presentation with the way and everything that's going on. And Pete Dunne, just, I don't think, as he's being pushed, is currently at that level. Like, he's at the level to be in the match. I don't think he's at the level to win and be the champion for NXT. So I think Cross retains and goes forward with it. But if he does lose, Adam Cole seems like the most likely person to me.
Yeah, it's also possible that he could be getting a call up Cross, you know, maybe sure. Vince has got his eyes on him. You never know when call-ups are going to happen these days from NXT. It never seems logical at this point.
You know, it would so just knows? Be the most apropos thing that we've had this entire roster filled with guys like Gargano and Ciampa and Pete Dunne and Adam Cole and just endless list of great workers. And then they look at, he's big. Let's call him a big guy who can't have as many good matches as everyone else.
Hey man, if anyone's going to succeed WWE on the way. If anyone's going to succeed on the main roster out of these five guys, I'd put my money on Karrion Kross. Like,
yeah,
dude's big. Dude can actually, like, he has a presence to him, kind of thing. I think he'd be good on the main roster. I think he'd actually fit on the main roster the best out of probably anyone here. Adam Cole's just so good though. Yeah. That's just me.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Let's get into a few of them here now. Judas Messiah says, been a while, guys. I was so shocked your 3-week push didn't end, but congrats, guys, and loving my shirt. It is nice, so big ups for that, guys. However, I figured out why the hate for main man Dexter. You guys are jealous women want him and not you. That's not what your mum said last night. Oh!
I will say I've seen too many people saying this sentiment in comment sections over the last like 2 months. It's like, oh well, Tempest clearly just has a fancy for Indy Hartwell and is upset that she's wanting Dexter. I was like, all right, I really hope you're trolling, because if you're not, I'm slightly concerned.
Yeah. Blind Roll.
Hey, Pete, you were eating his mom's spaghetti. Nailed it.
Oh my god. Wasn't expecting that one. Blind Raw says, you hate the Index story. Good god, guys. You hate the Index storyline. I hate the Index storyline too. But can we please talk about how Triple H and Regal absolutely chewed the scenery during that segment with Poppy? That's a Hunter Pog. We're making it an emote. Yeah. Dude. Hunter was pogging so hard in that segment. It was a good time.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we've said our piece about, we'll talk about that segment more in a little bit here, but we've said our piece about the storyline as a whole. That segment, I could not stop laughing. Not because I actually enjoyed it, but just from like Triple H and Regal. Just,
oh yeah,
good God, so campy about the whole. I loved it. It was so dumb.
Triple H, the shocked Pikachu face.
Yeah, properly. Yeah, it was great. And Regal having like 20 million different facial expressions in the space of about 2 minutes was amazing. Yeah.
Not enough people are giving credit to William Regal and his amazing facial reactions to everything. Everything. I love William Regal. I want more William Regal. I wish he wasn't retired.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping with the way that the NXT's going, where no one pays attention to him or any of his rulings, I'm hoping he just gets out the brass knuckles soon and just starts decking people and just be like, guys, this is my show.
Yeah.
For God's sake, everyone fall in line. But for now, let's get into the rest of NXT, which started off straight into the action of Austin Theory versus Oney Lorcan. Good. Straight into a match.
Starting shows with matches.
Big fan. And this was set up last week through a little backstage confrontation between Theory and Lorcan, which I found it odd then that they then threw to a video thing and being like, here's what happened earlier. And it's brawling them again. It's like, okay, it's more of the same. But obviously this one included Johnny and Pete Dunne as well. And my first thing I was like, heel versus heel is going to be interesting. And then I heard the crowd just go, Austin Theory. I was like, oh, right. Yeah, of course Theory's going to be working face in this one. That makes so much sense. Of course he is. So yeah, Theory did work face in this one. And I'm such a nitpicker. God, I'm looking at my notes. I am such a nitpicker. I was like, oh, it's a little bit of touch of the WWE's here. Pete Dunne comes out and it goes to an ad break. I hate that. I hate it so much when they do that. When they're like, oh, what's this person coming out for? Stay tuned. And then they just go to an ad break. It's like, God.
Imagine if a random player from a different team walked out during like a football game and just walked onto the field and they cut to commercial.
Yeah, literally. That's literally the equivalent of, like, in wrestling terms, you know, someone coming out to ringside is, like, something exciting happening, right? So imagine if you get, like, you're watching a soccer, you're watching a football game, right? And the action's getting close to the goal. And people, like, someone, like, gets a corner, right? And they're everyone's kind of piling down towards the end of the field and, you know, a chance of a goal here. At break. You would never do that. Ever. Like... And yet WWE is just like, because it's so formulaic and they know nothing's going to happen, so let's just put an ad break here. It's like, yeah, but the people need to buy into the fact that anything can happen at any time. I know this is a nitpick. It just really winds me up. However, my next note, though, is Austin Theory did a modified Spanish fly. That's really cool. It was. It was very cool. It was one where he literally, like, it was like a half Starship Pain. He literally went up. And like sat and jumped and like sat on the top rope to grab Lorcan, who was just kind of sitting on the top turnbuckle, and then bounced off backwards and hit the Spanish fly. Looked very cool. Good job, Austin Theory.
It was a sit out springboard Spanish fly, and I have never seen it before. You know,
SSSF.
Sure.
Springboard Spanish fly. Yes.
Yeah. Sure. Go for that. That being said, like, when I watched this match, I could really tell that Austin Theory is a guy who's been coming up with like a lot of his own like ideas for moves, you know, like you just kind of sit back. Maybe you're playing a video game, playing with action figures, whatever you do to think up wrestling moves. And he's thinking up like, oh, I can do this and I'll do that. Like, oh, that's super cool. You can do it this way and that way. But he's never really been pushed as a babyface in NXT, so he doesn't wrestle the style that would necessitate like a big, exciting, you know, flashy move. And now he's getting a chance to work as a babyface for one night, so he's like, oh, I'm going to do these moves, guys. He did like a rolling, jumping neck breaker, and I thought that was really cool. And then he did the sit-out Spanish fly, and oh, good stuff, you know? I don't necessarily want him to be a babyface, but it's cool to have it be a little different for a week.
Yeah, and I think that it kind of shows a little bit of potential because Johnny Gargano came out as well to kind of even the odds a little bit. And I think there was a little glimmer of potential seeing the way as a babyface quartet. And I don't think they should do that anytime soon. I'm not saying they should do that right now. But I think there was a little glimmer of potential. I was like, oh, maybe they could work as a babyface quartet in the future. I think they could be quite endearing. Obviously, we know Johnny and Candace are phenomenal babyfaces. We already know that. But seeing like Austin Theory as a babyface here, I was like, there's maybe something there in the future, which should be quite fun if they do get to that. Gargano and Dunn start brawling on the outside during this match, which causes a distraction for Austin Theory. Only Lorcan capitalizes, hits a half Nelson slam, and wins. It was all right. It was a pretty solid opener, I'd say. It was good.
It was a perfectly adequate opening match, is what I thought. Yep. It did not light my world on fire, but there was enough cool things to keep me engaged. I have no complaints and no real like powerful thoughts about it either way. Like it was just perfectly fine.
Absolutely, yeah. After this, we got a video promo from LA Knight. Kind of a pre-recorded thing, him showing off all his stuff in his mansion, and him cutting a promo in a bathtub surrounded by two women, and him just doing being a knob basically. It was all right.
Yeah, we'll get to it, but I think I definitely enjoyed the Cameron Grimes one a little bit more. You know,
it's really weird because both of them basically cut the same promo. Essentially, it was them being in a mansion, right, showing off all the things, getting into a car, driving to the arena. And I know that was the point. I know they're supposed to be the same promo, but it really just showed how much more endearing Cameron Grimes is than LA Knight, which is just like, man, he's just really much more engaging than LA Knight, huh? which I thought was quite funny.
I was going to say the exact same thing, where if you do the exact same promo, you really can't have one of them just be significantly better than the other. Like, it needs to be different enough that you don't compare the two. And I know that's, like, the point of this storyline, because they're both trying to be the new Million Dollar Man and everything, but I saw this, and it felt like I don't even know, like it felt like a discount version of a Million Dollar Man promo from the 80s. Something about this just felt like tacky almost, which is weird because he was in like a big mansion and everything. But I don't want to like put my foot in my mouth at all, but maybe it had something to do with like just let's get a couple of pretty girls and sit them in the hot tub, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just felt weird. It felt like a disconnect from like today's wrestling.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, this whole feud is kind of a disconnect from today's wrestling in a way, but you know,
yeah, I guess. That's fair.
We then had Michael P.S. Hayes was there. Doc Hendricks, who ran down the takeover card. And I went, all right.
I'm really happy for the two people who are super nostalgic for Doc Hendricks. And I think they were Tom Phillips, or not Tom Phillips, god damn it. It was Beth Phoenix and the other one on commentary.
Yes.
They were just like, oh my god, I can't wait. I can't wait to throw to Doc Hendricks, guys. Oh my god.
Doc Hendricks. Jesus. They were very excited about it. And no one else was. After that, we had Santos Escobar in the ring with Legado del Fantasma. And I did not like this promo segment because he just basically said, hey, Bronson Reed, you got involved in my business, blah, 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 blah. Bronson Reed comes out and he does the really cringy main roster WWE babyface thing of throwing to a clip of him hitting like the big squishy body press thing up against the cage wall on Santos Escobar from the previous week. And he throws to the clip. And then, just to make it even more main rostery, he throws it to the clip, which then starts appearing on more screens around the arena. Who's programming that? Was that a pre-done thing by Bronson Reed to go to the production team and just say, hey guys, I want you guys to play this clip. But I don't want you to just play the clip. I want you to play it on this back screen first. And then I'll say play it again. And then you just start putting it around more and more places. Can you do that for me? It's really dumb. And then he's like, huh, I squashed you, remember? See? Look, I did the thing. Didn't it hurt? It wasn't it bad? And Santos is like, no. And then he says, hey, we should fight again. And Bronson, I liked it when he was like, we should fight again. Bronson was like, okay. And then just came down to the ring. I was like, that's cool. It's like, there's three of them in there, but Bronson Reed just doesn't care. He's like, yeah, I'll fight. Whatever. That's cool. But then MSK come out. And then they all join up. And Santos Escobar goes out and then says, I want to fight you for all the titles. Six-man tag match at TakeOver, winner takes all, North American title, and the tag team titles on the line for the six-man tag. And I went, that's kind of cool. That's interesting. Don't know why they should get another shot at the tag team titles, but you know, still cool, I guess. It's different. You know, two titles on the line in one match is always exciting. Bit weird, but all right. Yeah, I'm on board. Yeah, I'm on board, yeah. I think.
I thought it was like, it was fine. They haven't put in, that's not a word. They haven't, God, I'm losing it.
Is that P-U-T apostrophe N? Putin?
Yeah, Putin. whatever. I don't care. I'm saving all of my energy for Quizzlemania. They haven't put a lot of emphasis on like people getting title matches because they've won matches leading up to this takeover. Like if you really look at it, who on this card has like racked up a bunch of wins leading to their title shot? You know, everyone has their different situation in the main event with the five-way and everything. People have won matches, people have lost matches, whatever. Ember Moon doesn't win matches. I'll get to that later. Santos Escobar hasn't won matches because he just lost the Cruiserweight title. I don't have as much of a problem with that because he had a long reign and everything. That's a slightly different story. But he still lost matches. And MSK just beat Legado del Fantasma.
Yeah.
What's going on here, guys?
I don't know, man.
Like, I don't know. Wins and losses in it. Like, why do we have wrestling matches if not to win and lose? Yeah. I would prefer if we head in a different direction for NXT TakeOver SummerSlam pre-show, that we get some wins and then another guy who gets some more wins and then they wrestle each other and only one of them can win.
Yeah.
It's a perfect booking philosophy. I promise you, if you try it, it'll work.
Yeah, it genuinely will. So now the question remains, who do you think's winning in this six-man tag?
Oh, well, I can't see them putting the tag titles on Legado del Fantasma. I could, if it was a one-on-one match and maybe not like right now, I could see Santos Escobar getting a run with the North American title. I think he's definitely elevated himself to the level that he can contend and win that title. But I think involving the tag titles in this means that they are not going to win this match. I think it's MSK and Bronson Reed's 100%.
Yeah. See, I think that, and I do agree with you. There's a little part of me, though, that just thinks like, okay, so they took the North American title off Johnny Gargano, probably so they could elevate him up to the NXT title picture. What if Bronson Reed is a transitional champion and they want to get the North American title on Santos Escobar? And I think I hate using this word. I think he's deserved it after the fantastic Cruiserweight title run that he's had. I don't think he would be out of place having a North American title run at all. And I don't know how they feel about MSK, because for whatever reason, as great as MSK are, and as much of a fan I am of them, I think they haven't been connecting to the NXT crowd as much as they want them to. So I don't know whether they're going to say, maybe we should change tack with MSK. Maybe we shouldn't have the titles on them so much. Maybe we pushed them too quickly to the titles or something like that. And they're going to try and change tack with MSK. And maybe they just go, you know what? Let's just push LDF. Let's give them the shot of all three of them holding the titles. We can give Santos Escobar that run with the North American. LDF can hold the tag titles. I could see it. I could see it happening. I don't think it will, but I could see it. And here's my hot take / prediction. I'm going to predict Legado del Fantasma in Wrestle League.
Wow.
Yeah. I know.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I agree with everything you said. I don't think MSK is really connected with the NXT audience that's there like they maybe could have or should have. You know, because we said like right off of the bat, I think it was either at the last takeover or right after where people were booing MSK. And we were like, what are you booing MSK for? But it's kind of been like a consistent thing since then. You know, like I thought, oh, maybe they just got like one gathering of people that really didn't like MSK. And it's just kind of kept going. And like, I get it, kind of like they don't have like the most character. Luke and Andy really don't like them. So the people are out there who don't like them. So it's one thing. I don't necessarily think they're going to lose the titles. And I would be kind of upset, not upset, but I would be a bit disappointed if they just like took the title off of them and then tried to hit the reset button. I think there's more you can do with them as champions to make them into a strong pair of champions and make the belts look better just by tweaking their characters and having them still being on a positive trajectory than just be like, oh, we'll put these titles on a cold team and then try and figure something else out for them. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that idea.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Could still happen, but...
Yeah. And all the people in the chat, by the way, saying that this is where I'm going to lose my lead in Wrestle League. I'm 2 points clear at the top of Wrestle League. Not in the office, not in the WrestleTalk office, of Wrestle League full stop. In front of everyone that competed in Wrestle League, I'm 2 points clear at the top. I could afford to take one risky pick. All right? I'm going to do it, because if it pays off, I'm a genius.
Hockey chopper.
Yeah. Then the thing is, I didn't like that segment, right? It just kind of happened. I was like, this is a bit main rostery. This is a bit cringy. I'm not a huge fan of this. Then Hit Rose music hit, and I went, oh my God, I'm in. Let's go. Literally, I genuinely Hit Rose music hit, and immediately I turned the sound up on my laptop and went, oh, okay. And I was like, I was so much more attentive as soon as they hit. I don't know what it is about them. They have an intangible asset. They genuinely do. There's something intangible about Hit Row that just makes them so good. And I'm so invested in everything they're doing right now. And I can't wait to see what they're going to do next every single week. And on this week, it was just Swerve having a match against Killian Dane. And honestly, you know, it's not the craziest match you'll ever see. It's not going to knock your socks off. It's not the best worked match on this episode, probably. But, God, I really enjoyed it, though, because I'm just so into everything Hit Row does. Oh, man. And, like, they had a little stare-off with Legado del Fantasma and Bronson Reed and MSK before their match started. Keeping those plates spinning. Love it. And yeah, Swerve just continuing to just be awesome. He's so good. He's so good. This match was fun.
I will say, I don't necessarily think that if the match took place like at this takeover this Sunday, I would feel too much differently about it. But if this same stipulation of match, the six-person tag with all the titles on the line, if that took place with Bronson Reed and MSK, took place at the next takeover with Hit Row, I'm all on board. Pedal to the metal, Hit Row's got to win every belt in the world. I love Hit Row so much. Like, I can't... I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. They have so much star potential. Like, just walking to the ring, Isaiah Swerve Scott, like, just looks and kind of sneers at Santos Escobar. And just doing that, I was like, he has so much charisma. He has so much personality and character in doing absolutely nothing. Like, just one facial expression is all it takes to get me hooked. And I cannot express enough that there are not enough people in WWE with that ability that just with a look have me hooked. Yeah, and 100%. You know, you had said possibly Bronson Reed being a transitional champion and everything. I don't necessarily think that if that's the case, I would have liked them to like really play up the I've achieved my dream thing, which they did in the match that he won it and then the promo afterwards. But it's kind of been forgotten about since. If they'd really played that up, I could have seen him just pass the title on to someone else. Because then it would be like a really emotional thing. Like, oh, I just won this title and now I've lost it again. Ah, so don't know that we're going to get that. But if it was Isaiah Swerve Scott in that mix, I'd be 100% on board. I thought that they were going to add them and do like a three-way nine-man tag match for all the titles. That would have been a crazy takeover match. I don't know how that would have like worked, but that would have been neat.
Yeah, that would have been very cool. The match itself, Swerve wins, obvs, a little bit of distraction shenanigans, and Top Dollar hits his finish onto Drake Maverick on the apron, which is cool. I say his finish, it is an AA. It's just an AA. I do hope he uses something different, because it is an AA. It's not the greatest finisher in the world, but it's fine. It was really, really fun. I'm still super duper into Hit Row. I was going to say something else about Swerve.
I'll say something and give you a chance to possibly find that point. I feel like this match was part of the reason this show didn't really work for me as a go-home show. Because, like, I get it. You have to build things up and not everything on the entire show is going to be focused on the pay-per-view. But this to me was like, this was a good chunk of the show where I was just like, I didn't feel like it had like a lot of stakes involved. You know, this wasn't like an important match. And I feel like most things on a go-home show should feel important. I still enjoyed it. I didn't like hate watching it or anything. But when it was over, I was like, yeah, that was another match. And there were too many matches on this show that were just a match for it to be like a good go-home show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get you. I remembered my point. One of the things that just makes me so invested in Hit Row is this feels like, for the first time probably since maybe Sanity, I might be misremembering, where a faction has come in that feels like it's a bunch of different people. Because as great as Undisputed Era were, and I was the biggest Undisputed Era mark. I wanted to get the Undisputed Era logo tattooed on me at one point in time. I was the biggest Undisputed Era mark. All four of them are kind of the same guy. Like, their thing is, we're all really good wrestlers. And that was their gimmick, right? Sanity, when they had Dane and Cross and Young and Wolf, felt like different people. Hit Row feel like different people. Each of them has their own distinct character. And it's just when they come out and they're all standing together, they look different. They're different heights. They're different weights. They're different genders. You know, that they have stuff that's just different about them that makes them feel like a proper wrestling faction. And I think that's what draws me to them as well, to just see a bunch of different people coming together and being and having kind of like the same unified purpose. It just draws me to them that much more. That's why I like
100%. Yeah. 100%. It's why I loved the Shield so much back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, like when the Shield got going, it was, these aren't just three guys who are all interchangeable. Like they were all distinct. They all had their own purpose. They all had their own personality, and they all had their own wrestling style, which is a very important thing. Because, I mean, how many times have we seen tag teams come together in WWE where they're like Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy, where they're interchangeable? Mm-hmm. Even in WWE, the Revival, they were largely interchangeable. There was a chant of which one's Dash, which one's Dawson. You're never going to get anyone in Hit Row mixed up because they're all distinct, they're all unique, and they're all great.
Yes. So yeah, it's great. We then had a backstage promo with Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. Indy says that Dexter still loves her and runs off, and Candice says, "Why is this still happening?" Echoing the thoughts of everyone watching, except
right,
not, because everyone likes this apparently. Anyway,
whatever. It was a short segment. I don't care. Why does Candice have such a hate boner for Poppy?
Because they needed to set up the segment later. That's why.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I feel like we missed the first segment in this storyline.
I think she was just saying, like, why are people talking about Poppy and not the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions? I think
they did that last week, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It just felt like, I don't know. It just felt like we missed a segment where Poppy, like, walked through their photo shoot or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Did a little bit of something, but I don't know. It doesn't matter.
After that, Mercedes Martinez went out to have a match against unnamed person.
I don't know who it was. I never got the name for the live report. I never got the name.
I don't think
for
they ever said
report.
It. Like when I mentioned earlier, I went to go to the Squared Circle Reddit to check, and they literally said, "I don't know, yeah. It was too quick. I didn't get the name." Like
it's been a while since there was a match with just a local competitor.
Yeah, totally, 100%. Mercedes comes out, but before the match starts, Xia Li attacks her. They have a brawl a bit on the outside before they get separated. Mercedes Martinez then gets in the ring and says she wants to fight anyway, hits a big boot, hits the air raid crash, and then just wins against the person, whoever they were. Cool.
I don't care about this match, but this segment made me like Mercedes Martinez more, if that makes sense. Like, this to me was proper booking of, like, a badass baby face. Mm-hmm. And they really don't do that very often in WWE. So it was like, it was really nice change of pace. Because how often would we see, like, if this was Toni Storm, she rolls back in the ring, she gets beat by the jobber, you know, and that doesn't benefit anybody. But Mercedes Martinez rolls back in, she was like, nah, screw it, ring the bell, and just beats her ass.
Yeah.
That's what I want out of a badass baby face. So, like, I still really don't care about this takeover match. Because, like, I don't know how you possibly could, but I think they did a good job with the segment.
Yeah, they did. In terms of the match itself, I think Xia Li is probably going to win. I'm hoping, because it's a takeover match, they're going to have a bit of a spotlight, and everyone's going to go, wow, these two are really good. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping. Because it's a takeover. So I'm hoping they, you know, they haven't just gone, well, go on a takeover stage, see what happens. I'm hoping they know what they're doing. I have a theory. Because, to me, if you wanted to have a bigger takeover card, you would probably have put on Ciampa and Thatcher versus Grizzled Young Veterans. That would have been your takeover match, right? I feel like they're doing this Mercedes versus Xia Li match because they've got something planned for it. I don't know what, but I feel like they've got a big thing planned. This won't just be a match and then the person wins and that's it. It'll be a match and then there'll be like a post-match angle or something will happen, or there'll be a return or a debut, or there'll be a something associated with this match, which is why they've put it on the takeover card, I think. Also, maybe just to showcase Xia Li and Mercedes, because they're probably very good wrestlers and can have a great match. Probably that too. But I feel like there's a reason they put this on TakeOver specifically, when you had other options to go on to make it probably what would have been a bigger TakeOver card. That'd be my opinion anyway.
No, I feel that. I feel that. It felt very kind of out of place. Like when we said it last week, we were like, oh, this is probably a pre-show match. Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Doesn't look that way now. Might end up that way. Who knows? But yeah, it does feel a bit out of place, but hopefully that just leads to us having lower expectations that will be easily surpassed.
Yes, agreed. Backstage, Poppy hugs Dexter Lumis. That's my only note for the segment. It was hilarious, because Dexter Lumis came in with a drawing of Poppy, as you do. And as you do as well, Poppy takes the drawing and looks at it, and then hugs Dexter Lumis. As she's hugging Dexter Lumis, Indy Hartwell comes in, sees Dexter hugging, gets very upset and runs off. Meanwhile, Triple H and William Regal are just having the best time in this segment. Yeah. So many brilliant facial expressions from both of them. I could not stop laughing. At them specifically. Storyline, still terrible. This didn't endear me to the storyline in any way. I didn't enjoy the segment because of the storyline. I enjoyed the segment because no one took it seriously, and it was the funniest. I don't know what to say.
It's Dexter Lumis again. Yeah. Can we get to the effing point already?
Can we get to the
point? You know, like, can they kiss or not? Like, I don't. What? When are they going to just do the thing? When are they going to pay this off? Because I
take
feel like
over. Wait, this... no, none of them are wrestling.
Like, I feel like this is going to be the 6 month storyline that just goes away when they get bored of it. And I'm, I don't even know if that's better or worse. Like, I'm just, it's whatever. The one, people are going to say that I'm just, you know, bitching about Dexter Loomis. And yeah, sure, I am.
And yeah, you are. Yeah.
And yeah, I am. Maybe I'm wrong on this, and I will take a step back and admit, you know, defeat in this case. Has Dexter Loomis ever portrayed himself as a big Poppy fan? Like, is that a thing that happened when she's been on the show?
No.
Okay.
I'll be honest.
He's allowed to like music.
I don't care enough to have paid attention to that, if that is a thing that's happened. So I could have missed it. I'll be honest about that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, the only thing with Dexter Loomis, and I'm walking a tightrope here, because I often say that I want people to have, like, well-developed characters and everything, multidimensional characters. But with Dexter Loomis, it feels genuinely like there's a bunch of, like, bullet points of, like, separate things for his character. Like, he's a painter. Like, why is he a goddamn painter? You know, he's a painter. He's a serial killer. He loves Indy Hartwell. Still unexplained for no reason other than she's just an attractive woman, which fair enough, but whatever. And now it's just like he's also a big fan of Poppy. And it feels like it just kind of gets written into the story because you need to create a divide between Poppy and the Way. But again, I don't care that much. It's Dexter Loomis. This was not the week where I blew my gasket over Dexter Loomis. That was last week. Go check that out. If you want to rant, it'll be last week.
I think to your point of him having separate character traits for Dexter Loomis, I think that's something that they just do, and they just go, and also this thing for him.
Yeah.
And they go, look, isn't it funny? He can also do this thing. And it's like, well, no, but nice try. Anyway, we've spoken about it too much.
Like, develop any of those bullet points. Like, just a little bit. Just a little bit. And yes, people, I know I'm overthinking it. It's not a big deal, but...
Yeah.
There not a lot happened on this NXT show.
On this show, guys. something that did happen. Well, we can talk about something that did happen next, because it was the priceless announcement of Ted DiBiase. We had a promo from Cameron Grimes as well. Video promo that was basically the same as LA Knights, which was him at home. I loved Cameron Grimes when he tried to smoke a cigar and drink whiskey, hated both of them and pretended to love them. It's just very funny.
If that is not like just a time capsule of today's wrestling.
Yeah.
It's like, look at me, guys. I'm one of you. I'm one of you old 80s wrestlers.
It's absolutely right. It was very funny. He just did the same promo as LA Knight, but better. And then he got in his Rolls Royce and drove to the arena. They both got there at the same time. I really liked this, because you never see this was very unique, of them both walking to the ring and just trash talking each other the whole time as they walked to the ring for this priceless announcement. Just like throwing one-liners at each other the whole time, not getting physical or anything, just showing how really like petty this feud is. And that's the point of this feud, is it's just like, we're vying for the affection of Ted DiBiase, and that's it. That's the point of the feud at this point. It's very petty. It's them just trying to one-up each other each time. And that was all they did, was walking out to the ring. It was very unique. It's very different. You don't normally see that kind of stuff. LA Knight like chucks Cameron Grimes' money, so he gets his music played first. But then his music gets interrupted by Cameron Grimes, and he's like, oh, what the hell kind of thing. Just constantly trying to one-up each other the whole time. I thought it was very fun. And then we get the announcement that it's going to be for the $1 million championship in a ladder match at TakeOver, Cameron Grimes versus LA Knight. I think this is going to be match of the night. That's a bold prediction right there. If it's not match of the night, because the Fatal 5-Way might take that, if it's not match of the night, it will definitely be like a sleeper hit. I think it's going to be one of those matches where you leave it and you go, good God, that was so much fun. Because one, Cameron Grimes is a bloody good wrestler, and they're in a ladder match. So LA Knight, who's still good, perfectly, you know, a good wrestler, just not like on the same level as like the top workers in NXT, I think having him in a ladder match could cover up some of those, not weaknesses, but not as strong areas for him mm-hmm. in a match. A lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of just like very cheap, easy ways to get emotional investment because everyone wants to see Cameron Grimes win. So just like him going for the title, being fingertips away, and then like, you know, LA Knight just like slaps his hand away or like pulls him off the ladder. Everyone's gonna be like, oh, come on. It's gonna be like, it's one of those like proper like soap opery type. Everyone just wants to see the good guy win. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. And I'm really happy they brought back the $1 million championship. And Cameron Grimes cut a bloody good promo just before he started climbing the ladder as well. Thought it was really good. So yeah.
I really like the promo from Cameron Grimes. You know, it to me, he needed to do a little bit more to really like make the turn to being a babyface, you know, mm-hmm. and he, to me, cut a really good, like, when I get in this ring, I can't be beat when I'm in front of all these people going to the whole deal, his whole promo. I was like, yeah, I'm buying it. You know, I was into Cameron Grimes as a babyface like a couple weeks ago. But I was really into it here. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready to get invested in this character as a babyface. I don't think he's going to win on Sunday. Oh. I think you can do a lot more if Ted DiBiase sides with LA Knight and helps him win the match. And then you do the chase and eventually have Cameron Grimes win the $1 million championship, possibly at the next takeover or something. Who knows? I think there's a lot there. And I really enjoyed this segment. This to me was probably the best thing on the show. Maybe the main event segment. This to me at least stuck out the most as being something that made me want to see the takeover match a lot more.
Yeah.
So thumbs up for that. Props to you guys. I love Ted DiBiase.
Mm. He's great. I'm quite excited. I think Grimes is going to win. I think this is just a short-term feud. I think LA Knight's a bit of a placeholder as just the foil to the Cameron Grimes story, and LA Knight happens to be the foil that they've chosen for it. He fits very well in the whole, you know, continuing on the $1 million legacy and stuff like that. I think he's done very well in the story, but I do think that this is Cameron Grimes' story that they're going to tell at TakeOver, and this is going to be his kind of like solid, this is going to be the big babyface moment for Cameron Grimes as he gets the $1 million championship. What they do from there, I don't know. I don't know if they know what they're going to do after he actually gets the belt. But I think they want the moment of him winning and just being like, $1 million champion. Yeah, let's go.
Well, yeah. I mean, the goal of all this is to have him do a million funny vignettes with the $1 million championship, you know, which if we're going straight to that, it'll be very entertaining. But yes. I don't know. I'm just looking at it as like, I bet they think that they can get 2 more months out of this and you can have Ted DiBiase be like a heel. Be classic Ted DiBiase and have him turn on Cameron Grimes. You know, I think there's something there. Whether they go that direction or not, I don't know. But I think they're in a good place one way or the other.
Yeah, totally. We then had Cross and O'Reilly started brawling backstage. Okay.
This was like a 5-second segment.
Yeah, it literally was. It was just like, they're brawling. They're being torn apart. Ad break.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Again, just William Regal has no control of his show.
Stop it. This is my show.
Gosh darn it. Yeah. War games, etc. We then had Grizzly Young Veterans. Bloody war games. Grizzly Young Veterans faced Austin Gray and Jiro, I think. Is that the names?
Eichmann Jiro. Making his debut, so I felt less bad about not knowing his name initially.
Good. I'm glad it was the debut because I felt quite bad. Jiro wrestles in a jacket. Bold move by him. Bold move. How can you wrestle in a jacket? That's wild. Quite fun, though. You know, crowd always get into it. He wants to wrestle in a jacket. He was trying to take the jacket off. They're like, no, the jacket. I love that thing. It's like Angel Garza's tearaway pants. It's just an easy like item of clothing. It's just easy to get over. It's quite cool. And it was a hell of a jacket as well. But of course, Grizzly Young Vets take 90% of the offense on this match, as they should. Ciampa and Thatcher come out to watch. Babyface is getting a little bit of offense off a distraction of them watching and stuff. Grizzly Young Veterans hit the Tickets of Mayhem to win, though. And then they set up a tornado tag for next week. which one? It's quite interesting because it's a tornado tag. Haven't seen one of them in ages. And also, it's cool that we're going to see Grizzly on Vets versus Ciampa and Thatcher. However, I didn't like that Grizzled Young Vets agreed to this match. They're the ones that kind of offered it, really. Because the whole thing is that they were done with Ciampa and Thatcher. And Ciampa and Thatcher were the ones that were badgering them and stuff like that. And then Zach Gibson just goes, well, if it's a scrap you want, it's a scrap you'll get. And it's like, well, why though? You just said you didn't want that. Why are you now changing your mind? That doesn't
really
make sense.
Really twisted his arm.
Yeah. Which was like, why did you just say no and then be done with it? Like,
yeah,
move on. It was weird. Yeah, but regardless, it's probably going to be very fun. And I hope that Grizzled Young Vets win and they move on to start a feud with MSK, who will probably retain their tag titles. If Legado del Fantasma win, then Ciampa and Thatcher are probably going to win, and Ciampa and Thatcher are going to be the contenders for Legado del Fantasma if they win the tag titles. I don't want to see that happen, though. As much as I think I'm predicting Legado del Fantasma, it's a bold prediction. I don't think it's actually going to happen. I think the smart move is to have MSK retain, have Grizzled Young Vets win here, and have Grizzled Young Vets go on to face MSK, maybe at the next takeover, maybe sooner, whatever. But I also think Grizzled Young Vets should win the belts, take them off MSK. Yes.
100 million bajillion percent. Yeah. I thought you could have done like a quick, not necessarily a transitional title reign, but if you'd had MSK lose the belts to Grizzled Young Vets at this takeover, and then done a longer chase for MSK, because they won the belts like immediately upon, you know, signing with NXT and winning the Dusty Classic and everything. And they're a good team. Like, they had their good match in the Dusty Cup final. I think there was a lot that they could have done there. Instead, we're getting this Legado del Fantasma match, which should still be very good. But I do think the big money in the tag division is going to be MSK and JYV. Or GYV.
GYV.
Yeah, whatever. My brain's not working.
Junior young veterans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that that is the direction they're hopefully going to go. If Ciampa and Thatcher win this match, I'm just going to throw my hands up. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're really good too, but give me Grizzled Young Vets. Like, they've teased them being a top act for so long. Just give it to me already.
Yeah. Yeah. Do more Grizzled Young Vets. They're great. Bobby Fish had a promo. He was training. Says he's not forgotten about Oney Lorcan.
I forgot about this segment.
Cool. It's fine. Candice LeRae came out and she calls out Poppy because she doesn't like Poppy. Poppy then comes out and says she doesn't wrestle, but she knows someone who does. And out comes Io Shirai, which was cool. I like the fact that it makes sense for Poppy to introduce her because Poppy's done her entrance music and stuff like that. Io Shirai comes out and she beats up Candice LeRae. Cool. Yeah. I would have thought this would have been a nice little thing for TakeOver, personally, to have a little like interim between matches kind of thing of Candice LeRae to be like, why aren't we on this card? We're the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. Why did Poppy get so much hype? Where's the time for us? I think that would have made a lot more sense, personally. And it would have been cool to have Io Shirai come back on the TakeOver. That's just me, though.
No, I think you're right. I think that's a very, very good point to make. Yeah. I don't know where they're going to go from here with this. Maybe Io Shirai will find a partner and go after the tag titles. Maybe not. Who knows? I think that's as fine a direction as any. I don't know who she would tag with, though. You know?
Frankie Monet. I don't know.
Like, that's not. She doesn't have, like, any connections with anybody on this roster right now. Because Kairi Sane is gone. And they were a fun team, but.
Sure.
Oh, well.
Then we had Ember Moon versus Dakota Kai. We really don't have much time to talk about this because we're going to overrun somehow in this show. It was a match. It ends in DQ because Raquel Gonzalez interfered because, of course, she did. Ember Moon then stands tall afterwards. Why didn't Moon just get the win? I don't know. Hey-ho. Raquel Gonzalez booted her off the top rope, but she hit the Eclipse anyway. Is this the scene at TakeOver? No, it's not. Raquel Gonzalez is going to win.
Yeah, she's going to win. 100%. I have no idea why they couldn't have just had Ember Moon win this match. Like, she left with her head held high anyway. She left everyone laying. Do exactly this but have her win. Have the matches matter.
Yeah.
Why?
This was like the third point on the show where I was like, that's a bit main rostery. And I didn't like that. It was like, it was the thing with Pete Dunne coming out and then cutting straight into an ad break. It was the Bronson Reed segment. And then it was this thing. And I was like, this feels very main rostery. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And then we had the promo segment with Karrion Kross, etc. To end the show, which we've already spoken about. Overall, this was a perfectly fine episode of NXT. As a go-home show, it was not good. I'll say that. It didn't, apart from like the $1 million championship announcement, nothing really made me more excited for Sunday in particular. The promo segment maybe did a little bit. I think it didn't necessarily make me more excited for the match. I think it made the match more unpredictable for me because it made me think that other people could potentially win, which, you know, is part of the promotion, I guess. So they did a good job on that one as well. Everything else, I'm sure it's going to be a very fun show, but this go-home show for me didn't really do it for me. It's a good show, just not for a go-home show.
Yep, yep. I would say it's like a low 3 out of 5, personally. You know,
I would say 3. I wouldn't say low personally, but it was a good show.
For NXT standards, I would say it's like a low 3.
That's very fair. Yeah. NXT normally has pretty high standards. That's very fair.
I think so. My screen's very dark. Give me one second.
It is. Sure is. Well, while you're doing that, let's go ahead and get into the rest of your Ultra Chats. Last call to get in your Ultra Chats here. WrestleTalk.com/support is the link to go to. Get in your Ultra Chats because we'll be going through every single one of your messages before the show ends today. So starting off with Sadie6969 Deegan. Says, how's it going, peeps? Great episode of NXT last night. I love the Poppy cameo, and my wife Io is back. Oh, hell yeah. Props to whoever keeps handing Hit Row baseball bats because they hit every segment out of the park. 10 out of 10. Hit Row are the best. I have no emotional investment in Poppy whatsoever, so her stuff is not for me, personally. But yeah, Io coming back was very cool.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, no, I do not love any wrestler more than Triple H loves Poppy.
Yes, true, yeah. Harrison Earl says, quick fantasy booking. Takeover in your house, Cross retains. SummerSlam takeover, Kyle wins the title. Takeover War Games, Undisputed Era, Fatal 4-Way inside War Games. Okay, Kyle retains. Royal Rumble takeover, Cole versus O'Reilly. Loser leaves NXT, Kyle retains. Cole wins the Rumble. That is fantasy booking because Cole is not going to win the Rumble. Just throwing that out there. Yeah. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, pretty much. You can't do like a fatal four-way match like this in War Games. They can change the rules for War Games and change how the match is set up, but like, that's not really how War Games works.
I think maybe if they literally just did a fatal four-way, but it's in two rings. So it's like, it's the War Games setting without it being a War Games match. I think, Undisputed Era's history with War Games would make that a really cool setting for them to have the match in. I agree with that. That'd be really cool. It wouldn't be a War Games match, so to speak.
I mean, everything else, I think it's, you know, pretty much on the money, you know?
Yeah.
I think Kyle wins the NXT title probably at the next takeover, so.
Hmm. That'd be cool. Misha Sumra says, will TakeOver have fans back? No. If so, what odds on Impact throwback chance of creepy bastard if Loomis appears? NXT fans are acknowledged as more smart marky than the WWE average. They might be able to manage it. No, I believe it's the same fans as normal for TakeOver.
Also, if you ever saw my mentions, you'd know that a lot of people don't... They're not going to chant anything negative towards Dexter Loomis. They're all going to be chanting index, 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 whatever.
We've got a couple miscellaneous ones here. Dylan Haggett says, Tempest, Mitsuhara Misawa versus Toshiaki Kawada, June 3rd, 1994. Worthy of 6 stars? Because personally, I don't think so.
I was not prepared for this question.
No, I didn't think you would be.
And like I'm prepared in that I can give an answer, but I was like, wow, all right, this is an interesting thing to get in a somewhat bland NXT. It's difficult to look back on something like this with today's eyes and judge it for what it was at the time, you know, like, because you can look back at a match like Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon, you know, their ladder match, and be like, that's not five stars, that's a boring ladder match, you know, whatever. And you're looking at it through today's eyes. Back then, that was a five-star match. That was like the craziest thing anyone had ever seen. And at the time, Misawa and Kawada had a six-star match. Going back and looking at it today, I can still watch it and be like, oh, that's awesome match. Incredible. Looking at the people losing their minds, watching that in the crowd, I was like, oh, I would love to be able to see something like that. That being said, I would probably say it's like a five-star match. But again, these number scores are arbitrary and dumb anyway. It's a really friggin' great match that more people should go out of their way to see, because it is wrestling history and excellent stuff. Yes. Hope that answers the question adequately.
We got one more here. Sadie 6969 Deegan again. Come to say, forgot Takeover was this weekend, but are y'all going to live react to this Takeover? It's okay if you aren't. Just want to know if I should buy snacks. Also, I would say good luck tonight, Tempest, but let's be honest, you don't need it. Big brain boy for the win. Hashtag LIW. We're not going to be doing live reactions to this Takeover, no. But we will be doing a review of it on Monday on the WrestleTalk podcast channel right here. So there will be a review on the Monday, but no live reactions this time. And also, yes, Tempest is on Quizzle Mania tonight. And he's going to take back Quizzle Mania Championship. And then at Hell in a Cell, one of us is going to get to jam that championship, and the intangibles will rule WrestleTalk, and it's going to be awesome. So I have an email here. In fact, before we get into the emails, wanted to talk about something that's been very an important part of my life that's come to a close at this point. Final episode of Critical Role Campaign 2. My God. I haven't finished it yet, and I'm really mad about it that I haven't finished it yet, because I can't watch it live because it starts at like friggin' 1, 2 a.m. my time, so I can't stay up for it. Also, the episode is 7.5 hours long, so I couldn't watch it live or anything. So it goes up on YouTube on Mondays. I watched half of it on Monday night, got up to the break in the middle, which was like 3 hours watching that. It was great. It was a good time. And then I was like, okay, cool. Well, I'll finish it tomorrow. Tomorrow being Tuesday night, I was playing D&D. I was like, okay, I'll finish it Wednesday. Then I'm realizing tonight I'm also playing D&D in my campaign that I'm running, so I still can't watch it, which I'm not going to be able to finish it until tomorrow. And I'm very mad about it, because I don't want to finish it because I'm not ready for it to finish, but also I just want to watch it now because I've watched half an episode, and it's the ad break went into a bit of a cliffhanger, and now I'm at the bit, and I can't go back. Now I can't finish it, and I'm having all sorts of conflicting feelings, Tempest. That's been my week so far.
Big fan. Yeah. Should have watched it live. My sister watched it live. The whole thing.
The all 7 hours?
Yes, sir.
God, how? That's insane. I just can't carve out 7 hours in a day. I physically do not have the time to do that. That's wild. Just
prepare yourself like you'd prepare for an old WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right, but not with the job I have. I can't do that. Tell you what, though, the episode before that, episode 140, there's been 141 pissing episodes of this campaign. Good God, I love it. Episode 140. I've been known in the last few years to cry at stuff when I watch it. You know, I'm not
you?
Luke. I don't cry at everything. I don't cry at everything. I'm not Luke, right? But I do cry at stuff, you know. Coco gets me every time. God, that movie's so good. It's an absolute masterpiece. But generally when I cry at stuff, it's like the eyes get a bit watery. Occasionally there'll be the odd tear that comes down, you know. Watching episode 140 of Crit Roll, I was full on crying. Like I was sobbing in my seat watching this frigging episode. I have never cried like that at anything before, but I was full on like tears streaming down my face watching this episode. It was so good, Tempest. It was so good. God, so good. If people want to email in stuff about Critical Role, I will not read it out on the podcast because spoilers and stuff, but I'll read it and I will appreciate it. Email in support@wrestletalk.com and I will read that stuff because Critical Role is like my favorite thing in the world. Just throwing it out there. I've just hijacked this entire podcast so far.
I mean, what else are we going to talk about on a podcast like this? We've talked about hockey for like 10 minutes before, so who cares?
Very fair. That's entirely valid, yeah. We do have emails to get through, though. That's been my life, by the way, for the last like week. Just been counting down, be like, okay, final episode. I need to watch it, need to watch it, need to watch it. Got halfway. Now I can't bloody finish it until tomorrow. And I might not even be able to finish it tomorrow because I get my COVID jab in the afternoon. So I might just be shattered and not be able to concentrate and pay attention to it tomorrow. So I didn't even know if I could finish it then. Oh my God, I might have to wait another day. God, my life sucks. No, it doesn't. That's a lie.
First world problems.
Yes, it is a first world problem. And I
can't watch my 7-hour D&D show.
Yeah, exactly. This is the definition of a Datsun world problem right here. Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out what the last time I really cried over was for.
Yeah.
Probably a movie of some sort. Maybe Endgame, but that was like 2 years ago now.
Yeah, that was. Oh my God. Yeah, it was.
At the same time, we've been living in a world without movies. So I don't really know. Oh man.
I went to go see Endgame with Ollie and Luke. Wild. Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a time ago. And their lovely lady partners as well.
I think I went to see that movie insane. 4 times.
Mate. I think I saw it twice. Twice.
I saw Infinity War 6 times in theaters.
Oh my God.
I really like that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you. It's amazing. We should really get through these emails. Remember when I said at the start of this podcast that we've got a lot to get through? We should do that. We've got an email here from Ethan. It says, good appropriate time of day, LIW. Today I was driving around listening to the pod and heard the dog stories, so I decided to share a picture of my boy Scamp at 18 years old enjoying a ride in the back of the Ute? U-T-E? Is that a thing? Is it like a pickup truck?
Probably. I don't know. Ute means something different where I'm from.
Yeah, sure. He always enjoyed a ride in the Ute with the wind in his face. This was his last ride before going to the farm in the sky, but I feel like he still rides along even years later. Regards, Ethan. Let me screen share this one for you, Tempest. Screen share.
Yeah. Oh, look at Scamp. I was holding out hope that he'd be the same breed of dog from Lady and the Tramp, because in the sequel, Scamp is the name of the son. Mm. But it was not to be. That is still a very cute dog. That's though.
A very cute dog. Thank you, Ethan, for that one. Got another one here from Ben. It says, hi, Pete and Tempest. Oh no, I shouldn't be screen sharing this. I hope you didn't see what the picture was, because it might have ruined the surprise. Ben says, hi, Pete and Tempest. You guys read out my email about my doggo on NXT this week, and I realized too late I forgot to tell you what his name was and what type of dog he was. His name is Chester, because that's where I live, and he's a cockapoo, a cocker spaniel and poodle. I think we were kind of right, because we were speculating, and I said it's kind of spaniel-y, so I kind of had that, and I think you and said it was kind of a poodle.
Yeah.
So we're both right. So you weren't far off with miniature poodle. Anyway, I couldn't send an email without some sort of animal pic. And since I don't have Chester with me at the moment, here's an elephant photo I took a few years ago in Africa. Sadly, I don't know his name. P.S. I'm sending this on a Thursday, so I hope SmackDown / whatever show this ends up being read out on was good. Well, you've already heard our thoughts about the show. So let's screen share. Look at this. It's an elephant.
Oh, my God. It's an elephant. We need to give the elephant a names. Because this elephant didn't have a name. I like Dragon Ball Z. How about Trunks?
Trunks. Trunks it is. Trunks the elephant. Goodness me. Thank you for the email.
Is that a little too Datsun for you?
It's fine. Honestly, I don't have the time to spend all day on an elephant name, unfortunately. Let's see here. We've got another email here from Jack. It says, "Hey, Intangibles. Jack here. I hope the week had treated you well and that you're happy, healthy, and full of awesome. Speaking of health, you're both looking pretty trim. I can tell that your hours in the gym and in the ring are really working for you. Thanks. Kudos, you look like future champions to me. So let's do some more marriage game practice. You can walk that aisle and be unbeatable. Last time I asked about handshakes and wrestle pets and you started thinking in sync. So let's push forward with this momentum. My questions this time are, what's the worst promo you've ever seen? Who do you think would be the best personal trainer? And finally, what is your favorite bad match? I believe in you guys. Jelly and the Celly will herald a new peach-shaped champion. Stay choppy, lads. LIW444 life. Worst promo I've ever seen? I don't know if this really counts as a promo because it was kind of just more of an ad, but like Miz's debut and just messing up everything about what he said. I don't know whether that counts, but that's probably up there. But in terms of one that's just like, just a really bad promo, Eli Cottonwood from NXT about a mustache.
The mustache
pretty
promo.
Bad.
I had it narrowed down to two. It was either going to be the mustache promo or the Genesis of McGillicuddy.
That's genuinely, that's the two that I had on my mind as well.
Man, NXT season two was something else.
Sorry, I'm rustling around. I need to get my headset charger. Ah.
I mean, okay. you do that. You also had the Caval promo where he said total nonstop action, right?
He sure did, didn't he? Oh, man.
God.
Is that
what
he had?
Show.
Was season two Lucky Cannon? Or was that
was Lucky
season
Cannon.
Three?
Yeah,
God.
Lucky Cannon,
what a,
the guy
what
who
a
didn't
stupid
know.
Stupid name.
Stupid name, and he didn't know how to run the ropes.
Tell you what, though, he did have a cool finisher.
I don't recall. The only NXT. No, actually, I remember probably more than I should about NXT finishers, just because I'm me. But I do remember the worst finisher I ever saw was Byron Saxton's NXT finisher.
Yes!
It's the
so
worst.
Bad.
It's the worst finish I've ever seen.
It's awful. Yeah. It's it was the float over sort of weird DDT neck breaker stupid float out weird thing, wasn't it? Oh god, it was so dumb. What was I gonna say?
Personal trainer though.
Who would be the best personal trainer? Do you mean out of us or like as a wrestler?
I would imagine he's thinking wrestlers.
Okay. Because out of us. Me, because I used to be a personal trainer, probably.
Yeah, I would say it's not me.
Who do you think would be the best personal trainer?
Well, I mean, I can narrow it down to like two. I can think of Trish Stratus and DDP.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the yoga people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, DDP is definitely up there. I mean, he has results that you can see, you know?
Yeah. DDP is a personal trainer.
Yeah. Or do you just mean in the world? Maybe not even wrestlers. Just anyone in the world. Who
Any
do you think
person.
Would be the best personal trainer ever?
The Rock. He seems very positive.
Yeah.
He'd give you a lot of positive reinforcement.
Batista. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. All right, favorite bad match. We've got to move on from this. So, favorite bad match. Miz versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania 35. It's a really bad match, but it's so funny. My God, those bumps that Shane takes are hilarious.
It's really tough. I don't typically like bad matches, probably because they're bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like you can pick any of those, like, those really bad, like, WWE, ECW era matches where the crowd was just, like, going nuclear of how much they hated it. I think that's fun. Anything that there's, like, energy involved with. I don't want to watch just, like, a bad match.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's totally fair. Thank you for email. We'll do another one or two. Got one here from Jonathan Headman. It says, hi, guys. I thought I'd let you know how awesome you guys are. Thanks. Also, I think, and you heard it here first, Raw and maybe SmackDown is getting new intro music when fans come back. Also, again, you guys rock. Are you Where are you pulling that one from, Jonathan? We need sources. We need hard evidence, man.
But
sounds like a WrestleTalk.com exclusive.
How are they going to ask you if you're ready for a good time?
Oh my god, don't. I despise that intro music so much.
It's a shame because AC/DC is like my second favorite band at this point.
Dude, great song. Got nothing against the song. It's not a wrestling intro song, though, is it? God, does not fit with SmackDown.
I stopped caring about wrestling intro music a long time ago. And it makes me sad because I used to really like it. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you had Rise Up on SmackDown and then like To Be Loved on Raw. And then even Burn It to the Ground, I thought was like, that's a classic Raw theme song. But everything after that, I could not care less about.
Enemies by Shinedown, I thought was pretty cool. I think it's when they first did the brand split in 2016, and that was the theme song for Raw, I think.
Not a clue. Not a clue whatsoever. And I was watching Raw at the time. But like none of those songs after that point were memorable at all. Like there was Tonight is the Night. Nothing. Like I have no connection to it whatsoever. But there are songs that I wasn't even watching wrestling for. But like Across the Nation, the Raw song, that's an awesome Raw song.
Mm-hmm.
Bring me back to those days.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Something about that one. Yeah, because I was a mark and bought into the brand split as like, oh, this is like a big reset for WWE. Things are going to change here. This is going to be a big deal, right? And they changed the theme music and everything. And I think the thing that sold it to me was the new theme music. And on the intro video package, the last person to be shown had always been Cena for years and years and years and years. It was always Cena was the final shot of the thing. And they changed it to Sasha Banks. And I was like, change! Oh my god! Yeah. So I was like, I bought into it and I was like, this is a new WWE and this is going to be great. It wasn't. It was the same. But, you know, I thought it was cool for a bit. That's why I probably like the theme song a bit more. We'll do one more quick one here. We've got an email from Evan. It says, hello, Pete and Tempest. Here are my girls. Talking about dogs. Here are my girls. Rhodey is a boxer / pit bull mix and Peanut is a miniature sausage dog. All right, let's share so Tempest can see.
Oh my god, it's wrapped up like a burrito.
Oh, it's in a blanket. Who's a good girl? I was going to say boy, but they're all good girls.
Oh my god,
that's adorable. Oh.
Very cute, very cute. I need a picture of them next to each other.
I know.
Judge size.
He's just having a good time. They're just chilling. Oh, there it is.
There you go. That's a bit
better.
That's
the side by side you've been looking for.
Oh, what handsome girls.
I know. Aw. They're both hanging out the window of the car. That's adorable. I think there's one more. Aw.
I wish to be that relaxed.
Just vibing on the bed. Oh my god. Thank you.
Wonderful.
For the emails. Appreciate it. Please do continue sending us emails with dogs and all sorts of stuff. And send me emails about Critical Role. I will read them. Not on the podcast, but I will read them. Just not stuff about Campaign 1. Haven't watched Campaign 1 yet. I'm about 50 episodes into Campaign 1, so about 65 to go. But I've watched all of Campaign 2. Apart from the end of the final episode. Anyway, we got to go because we've got to do some other stuff now. We've got In Your House. We're going to be doing a review of TakeOver In Your House on Monday. So we'll have an extra podcast for you guys coming in your feeds, which will be the Intangibles reuniting, of course, for that as well. So stay tuned for that. Thank you very much for listening. We love you very much. Take care of each other. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.